listening to the teaching ministry of Uxbridge Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about how we can be of service to you, please visit us at www.uxbridgebaptist.com.
So we've just sung about courage, and I do believe that's the call that God has placed upon us as his people. God did do something pretty special last week. A number of you have spoken with me about that and expressed your sense of encouragement, your sense that God was bringing something to the surface that just had to be opened up and dealt with. And that matter is the matter of holiness, that we are to be the people who reflect the holiness of our God by virtue of the Spirit of God within us, his word having its full effect, and that we are in every way given over to God's way in our lives. And in particular, we spoke about sexual purity. There are all sorts of matters of holiness, and we will understand that God's call to holiness is not just what we spoke about last week, but there's so much to that. And we've taken one step along a pathway that is much longer, and we trust that God will move us forward, and we trust that God will continue to bring conviction over these things. If you are sensing conviction, be grateful for that. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's what God does in order to address our needs and bring us to a place of fruitfulness. And that's what we've been yearning for. That's what I desire. I trust that's what you desire. And that's what you pray for when you think of me. And that's what you pray for when you lift up one another, that we would see the fullness of God's reign and God's grace in each life. Please don't let this matter go without further consideration. God is doing a deep work, and it's crucial that we respond in faith. It is crucial that we respond in obedience. There are many ways to find help, by the way. We want you to know that. There are many ways to find help for these issues. We want you simply to go forward with what works for you as you move forward in repentance and faith and whatever it is that God has laid his finger upon in your life. If it helps, we do have a video series that has been tested right in our own context here, and it's proven very helpful to some of our men already. We're going to be running that series again. It's called the Conquer Series. Ed Chen is going to give leadership to that group. Ed, I saw you. Where are you? Ed's over here. We want to encourage you to chat with Ed or to chat with me. Men, if you would do that, Ed's email address along with mine is in the bulletin. For women, we're asking that you contact Pastor Kathy. Her email address also is in the bulletin, or you'll have the opportunity to speak to her in person. She's not here today, but she'll be back on Tuesday. I want to say to you that we need a pathway forward for women. We do have this series that we want to run for men, and we believe that's a very good and excellent next step for us. But we have not yet seen a plan come together for women. And we're not quite sure how this is to happen amongst us. So we need to hear from women who are sensing a call to help and meet the need in some way. And so I want to encourage you with that. If God is speaking to you, please speak to Pastor Kathy or speak to me. And let us follow the Spirit of God as he leads us forward so that we can come to the fullness of healing, the fullness of our experience of his grace, and then the releasing of his blessing into full fruit-bearing life in the Spirit. And it's really to that theme that we want to turn our attention today. We have been focusing on what it means to bear fruit, and we've been thinking about the Spirit of God, who is the one that we worship, love, and adore. And we're recognizing today, amongst many other things, that he is the Spirit of fruitfulness. He is the fruit-bearing Spirit. It is the work of God, the Spirit, who actually bears fruit, takes what belongs to Christ and is of Christ, and brings it to us and gathers us in and drives it into our hearts. the fruit-bearing spirit. I heard a story about a little boy who went over to a pastor's house. I always find these to be interesting stories. A little boy went over to a pastor's house where the pastor actually had decided he was going to do some carpentry in the garage. And so the boy just stood there at the edge of the garage watching what the pastor was doing. And finally, the pastor became so curious, he said to this little boy, "Son, are you trying to pick up some pointers on how to build something?" And the little boy replied, "No, I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Yeah. Sometimes we'll find out what we're made of by our actions in extreme circumstances, right? Whether they're good or bad. Sometimes, also, it's in the long and steady routines that over time become the measure of our lives. There we find what we're made of. But however you parse it, we who are on the inside, or who we are on the inside, eventually gets expressed in our actions on the outside. This is the matter of holiness. This is the matter of fruitfulness. When we have a positive change in our conduct or in our character, that is a type of spiritual fruit. That's what Paul calls us to in Galatians 5 and verse 22. He says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A Christian's life is characterized by spiritual fruit. People who are serious about their lives, you'll understand, they ask the question, what contribution does my life make? Some people ask it this way, am I giving back as I should? I think it's helpful for us to rephrase the question in terms of fruit. What fruit does my life produce? And am I producing what God has given me to produce? Are we producing that fruit that bears goodness in life? And how effective are we in doing this? If you're a Christian, then people should be able to look for and find fruit in your life. Do you agree? Why is this so? It's because a disciple of Jesus Christ will produce spiritual fruit. Jesus said it. John 15 and verse 8, we're going to look at this more closely, but this verse says, my true disciples produce much fruit. And then Jesus says in another passage, Matthew 7 and verse 20, by their fruits you will know them. It's the truth of our faith. I want to have you join me as we read the scripture that's our focus for today. It's John chapter 15, and we'll have the words projected for you, and we're just going to read this aloud in unison. And as we do, let the Word of God inform our hearts and inform our minds and do its transforming work. Would you join me in reading this from John 15? I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then verse 16. Jesus told his followers, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is an amazing passage of Scripture, the word of the Lord to us. It's so full of truth, we can't hope to draw all of that out this morning, but there are a few things that I hope I can share with you to encourage you. I think these are wonderful observations, inspiring observations that we find here from this text. And the first one is simply this. I want you to know we have an incredible calling. We just have an incredible calling. I hope that you're struck by the force of those last words that we just read together. Verse 16, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You see, you and I have been specially selected by God that we might go and bear fruit. And I know those biblical terms, election, appointment, foreordination, predestination, those are difficult to understand, but they are biblical terms. And they have real meaning for us. And they are there for our good. The truth is, God has chosen us. He has appointed us. And it's not because of who we are. It is not because of what we have done. In fact, it's in spite of who we are and what we've done. It's because of His own good pleasure. It is from the beginning to the end a matter of grace and only grace. God's goodness to us. It is astounding grace. That in itself is deeply moving and well worth our meditation, that God saw us in our sin, in our blindness and helplessness, and still He graciously reached down and He lifted us up. He opened our eyes and He cleansed our hearts so that we could see and embrace His truth and that we could live in the fullness of His love and know His righteousness. That's amazing grace. But we would be wrong to think that it stopped there. God didn't choose us just to be the objects of His mercy. He chose and appointed us that we might go and bear fruit, that our lives would be characterized by that. He chose us not that we might just barely escape the fires of hell. He chose and appointed us that we might live lives that bear much spiritual fruit. This is His intention. He has an undeniable design for each one of us, everyone who's united in Christ, that we might bear much fruit. Paul says the very same thing in another passage in the book of Ephesians, a passage that's so familiar to us, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works so that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, God has already ordained that we should be bearing fruit in our lives, the fruit of these good works. We have an incredible, incredible calling. It is God the Father who has called us. Understand that God has not chosen and appointed us to sit still and do nothing. That's not God's call upon our lives. No true believer can say, I'm exempt from God's call to bear spiritual fruit. Don't miss your calling. Don't underestimate your calling. And don't confuse your calling. God has not called us to amass great property. God has called us to faithfulness. God has called us to fruitfulness. God has not called us to achieve fame. God has called us to fruitfulness. God's not called us to build a great business or run a great hospital or lead a great political movement. God has called us to fruitfulness. There's a difference, an incredible difference. And it may very well be that all of those other things somehow in God's plan are gathered into His calling to be fruitful, but it also may not be. What stands is that God calls us to be fruitful. The point is that God has chosen and appointed us, that in all of our living it might bear spiritual fruit. So we need to examine our lives, don't we? We need to examine our lives to see if we are living up to this incredible calling. It is just amazing that God would call us to have His Spirit so at work within us that we would bear abundant fruit to His name. Every time I see it, in the context of God's people, it warms my heart. It encourages me. And we have so much of this going on in the life of our church. So many wonderful wonderful enterprises, so many wonderful efforts where people strive to see fruit of God's Spirit born in their lives. I want to ask Jennifer Wilson to come and to share with us a little bit of an update on what's going on with heart-to-heart ministry, which I believe, alongside of so many other ministries, Sunrise, Argana Missions, so many other worthy efforts, these are illustrations of a passion for bearing spiritual fruit to the glory of God. So, Jen, would you share with us a little bit?
God wants to heal our nation, and He has called and appointed Uxbridge Baptist Church to be part of that. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the verse that Dale Maxson sent to our Women to Women team many years ago as we set out on one of our first trips to the First Nations communities of Pecanjikum and Fort Hope. We have seen God's power at work as He has led us to also walk together in life with the communities of Weagamow and Curve Lake. What started as a team of mothers and daughters from this congregation to go to bring joy and compassion to these women has now grown to about 70 women and a few men who have traveled with us over 7 years to reach out in these communities. This has included facilitating women's weekend events, teaching in elementary schools, reaching out to clients at drug rehab centers, facilitating grief and parenting seminars, supporting local churches, visiting and praying for individuals and families in their homes. God has led the way. He has equipped us. He has truly blessed us with the fruit of friendship and the privilege of walking life. Our 2016 year has seen some very significant and exciting changes. As we were no longer a group of women reaching women, but a team of men and women reaching out to communities, we felt God leading us to change the name to Heart. Not mission, not heart-to-heart mission, not heart-to-heart ministry, because those other words might evoke negative memories for our residential school survivors, but just heart-to-heart. God has also given us a vision of a tree through one of our hosts in Weagamow. She woke up one morning and said, "I feel like heart-to-heart, then women-to-women, needs to have a tree as a symbol. I am the vine. You are the branches." I didn't even know that was the passage you were going to read this morning. You might think, why don't they use a heart for the logo? But actually, God has partnered those two things, the heart and the tree. Ephesians 3:17 says, "We have been rooted and established in love." So this is our logo. And in the bottom, I hope you can see a heart hidden in the roots. It is our prayer that our Indigenous friends will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God and to truly know the love of Christ. So what are these significant and exciting changes that 2016 have brought? Can you be here for 3 hours? I've just chosen a few. First of all, our 2016 team of 28 men and women included 5 Indigenous women this year. Instead of us spending 1 week with our Native friends, that allowed us to spend 4 months preparing, praying, deepening our relationships with these women, serving, and then ministering together. What started so many years ago as a non-Native group to Native people has now become a partnership, heart to heart. We are also partnering with broader organizations to provide opportunities for the people we have been visiting. The hand of God has been so evident in this. Over the past 2 years, the band councils have been asking us to bring parenting programs. And more recently, we have been discussing bringing some marriage input as well. In fact, a couple from Weagamow and a couple from Fort Hope have actually said to me, "We feel like God is asking us to travel to other Native communities and share how God has helped us in our marriage." We believe God wants to heal brokenness in homes, which will heal the communities. Because of these new initiatives, we are inviting couples this year, as well as individuals 14 and older, to be applying to our Heart to Heart team for 2017. We are holding an information meeting tonight at 6:30 if you want to have more details on that. One of the broader organizations that we've been partnering with is the Psychology Foundation of Canada. Lori Noakes, a public health nurse who has been a long-standing team and committee member, has been able to partner with this organization, bringing parenting programs through the Tickenaugan Children's Services, which is like the CAS within the communities. Last year, we had two Christian nurses that joined our team to implement this program. Part of their mandate is to train local people to continue the program, and Lori and her friend Diana, who is also a pastor, will return next week to Weagamau and Fort Hope to begin this training component, and the foundation will pay them to visit regularly until that program is established. We're hoping to use that program in Pikangikum in 2017. Another organization is Power to Change, and they've approached us because they received a donation to bring Indigenous couples to their annual Family Life Marriage Conference in Collingwood, which takes place next weekend. They were looking for someone who might know some Native couples. Along with this donation and with the balance of our fundraising here at Uxbridge Baptist Church from 2016, we've been able to bring five couples from the remote communities of Fort Hope and Weagamau, as well as two local couples. They arrive Thursday evening, and we will be hosting a special breakfast for them. Any of you are welcome to attend. Just please RSVP the church office by Wednesday if you want to join us. It'll be 8:30 next Friday morning. Power to Change has also invited these seven couples, as well as three other Native couples, to stay an extra day. So they're going to go to the conference Friday to Sunday, and then they get to stay through Monday as well, because they would like to train them to take these marriage principles back to their communities as God leads them. There are many others that are also approaching us, but the other organization I want to talk of today is Bible-Centered Ministries. Some of you may know Millstream Bible Camp, and BCM runs that camp. They've just their director has just recently been trained to do a program called Parenting is Heart Work. I couldn't believe the title, to be honest, because it was such a draw for us as we've been seeking a parenting ministry tool that would be biblically centered. We have arranged for Phil Whitehead, the Canadian director, to give a brief seminar to these couples next Friday to introduce them to the program with the prayer that they will co-facilitate it with us when we come to their communities in the spring, and that they can then share the excitement of what's coming as they advertise it in their communities. We are so thankful to God for the privilege. Sorry. It's an overwhelming privilege of being part of His great plan for us, allowing us to experience His blessing. We thank you for your continued encouragement and support of the Indigenous people of Canada. Thank you for your participation in the Servant Sock Project by filling 115 stockings this year. Thank you for your continued prayer and concern for the complicated issues that face the Indigenous communities. As a symbol of our love for the Native people and an act of worship to God for allowing us to see this fruit of His work, our Heart to Heart committee has decided to prepare fruit baskets for each of these couples who are attending the conference. Christy Guzlak, just over aside here, Christy has agreed to prepare these packages for us for next weekend. And we are inviting you as a church family to be part of the bearing of that fruit and the presenting of that fruit as a symbol of our teaching today that Pastor Dale is giving us. So if you would like to do that, I believe there's going to be a list up here. Carter, if you can go to the fruit slide. So just take a quick peek there of the things that we're looking for. And if you'd like to be part of that, if you could drop that off to the church office by Wednesday. And if you have any other questions, you can talk to Christy. We'll be talking a little bit more about that tonight as well. But just want to say thank you so much. And most importantly, to God be the glory.
I'll say thanks to It is such an incredible privilege and calling for us to be those who bear fruit. It's interesting when we see these things arising amongst us. Jennifer, I think this is true for you, and I know that for the Ghana team, the other Jennifer Wilson. Don't you wish we had more Jennifer Wilsons around? You know, you step out in fear and trembling. Because you have no idea how is this going to come together? Where are the resources going to come from? How is it? Will God bring people who actually will help to lift the weight with me? And what we find is God is faithful, and God brings blessing. There's an amazing power that is brought to bear upon our efforts when we're faithful, and that is the power of the Spirit of God. What an incredible calling to bear fruit. I hope you ask the question in prayer before the Lord, God, how is it that you've called me? How is it that you've appointed me to bear fruit? What is it that I'm to do? What can I do to honor you and to build for your kingdom? We have an incredible calling, not negotiable, it's ours. The second observation I want to make with you, and then just leave it here, is this, that we have a glorious objective. Not only do we have an incredible calling, but we have a glorious objective. And just let me draw this from verse 8 of John 15. We'll go back to these verses that we read at the outset. It says this, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is to my Father's glory, to the glory of God. What does glorifying God mean? Well, it means to acknowledge his greatness. We give him honor and praise and worship. And we do it because he and he alone deserves to be praised and honored and worshiped. God's glory, it's the essence of his nature. He radiates with the fullness of grace and truth. And we give him glory because we recognize who he truly is. And we fall on our knees before him in worship. Living for God's glory, that means living all out, no reservations, for Jesus Christ. Living for him and for his kingdom. All for his honor and all for his glory. Notice this. This is how we show ourselves to be true disciples. This is how we show ourselves to be those whose faith is real and who are walking as Christ has called us to walk. We show ourselves to be true disciples when we bear much fruit to the Father's glory. I had a friend in Bible college who had a significant impact, spiritual impact upon my life when I was a student. He was a couple of years ahead of me. He was a brilliant man. He was in his early 20s. He had already been to MIT for engineering, and he had been offered a lucrative job and would make a staggering amount of more money than most of us will ever see in our lifetimes. And he left it all to become a pastor. That astounded me. And on top of all of that, he had leukemia. And by all estimates, he only had a year or two to live. By the way, there is something about an awareness of the brevity of life that provokes serious thought about what really counts in life. This friend of mine was a poor seminary student, and all he wanted to do was serve God. That's all he wanted to do. He pastored a small church in Tottenham, northwest of Toronto. He was paid a very small amount, which was, you know, enough maybe to cover his basic living expenses. But his medications 35 years ago cost him about $2,000 a month. So he worked long hours building homes and pastoring a church and going to school full time. This guy was amazing. And I remember clearly a conversation that I had with him as we were walking downtown Toronto. And I told him how grateful I was for his friendship. I was so impressed by everything that he was doing so that he could live his life for God. And I was especially grateful because, and I had to acknowledge to him, every time I'm near you, my attention is drawn to God. I'm made to think about God. I'm made to think about God's, God's word in my life. It prompts me to deepen my love for God. And I remember saying to him, or I remember him saying to me, how pleased he was to hear that. And then he said, "God is good. God is gracious. I just wish there was more that I could do to serve him." Can you imagine that? I just wish there was more that I could do. Here's a guy, who just poured his life out. That's the heart of someone who is passionate about bearing spiritual fruit. I suggest to you, that's the heart of somebody who sees it clearly, who actually understands that there's an eternity before us, and that what we do here counts forever. He's somebody who recognizes that there is a God to serve, a God whose glory we have the opportunity to reveal in our own lives. And nothing was more captivating for him than that. I think that's amazing. We have an incredible calling. And we have this amazing objective to bring glory to God by bearing much fruit. One of the men I admire much in history is Jonathan Edwards. He lived in the early 1700s. He was a man whose heart yearned for the fullness of God's glory in his land. He was one who saw great, wonderful things in the Great Awakenings in the United States, in New England. And for his own life, he reflected upon what God was calling him to do, and he actually came to a place where he made some resolutions. He said, "These are things that from this time forward I want to have as absolute pillars in my life." And I wanted to share some of these with you, hoping that they'll resonate with you as we think about the glorious objective that is ours. This man, Jonathan Edwards, had these resolutions. They're clear and forceful. I think they're worthy of our consideration. I have modified them so that their language is a little more modern, a little more understandable. But here's the first one. Resolved, never to do anything, whether in soul or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God. Never to do anything but what is given to the glory of God. That's what I resolve. I do not want to be caught in any activity or any thought other than what yields glory to God. Let it be resolved. Here's the next one. Resolved frequently to take some deliberate action which seems most unlikely to be done for the glory of God. What he's saying is, I want frequently and deliberately to do something for the glory of God that is out of the ordinary. I want my life to go after something that will bring glory to God that is not just something that happens in everyday life. It's the glory of God he seeks. The next one. Resolved that no other end but faithful obedience have any influence at all on any of my actions. You see how complete and total his commitment to the glory of God is? That there's no other objective, no other end, no other goal in mind, nothing else but faithful obedience will have influence on his actions. What a difference that would make if we lived by these resolutions. Let's move to the next one. Resolved to strive every week to be brought higher in discipleship and to a higher exercise of grace than I was the week before. This is a growing Christian who has achieved so much, but he wants to continue pursuing all that God has for him. So every week that I might be brought higher. Let's go to the next one. Resolved never to do anything but my God-appointed duty, and to do it willingly and cheerfully as unto the Lord and not to man. I want to do everything, and never to do anything, but my God-appointed duty. I want to do what God has called and appointed me to do. Not for any man, but to the glory of God. How about the next one? resolved that I will live my life as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. I want to live my life so that on my dying day, I can look back and say, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to live for God, to the glory of God. Let's look at the next one, the last one that I have here for you. I want to live, resolve to live with all my might while I do live. I mean, right here, right now, with all that I am, with all my might, I want to live for the glory of God. That's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful, glorious expression that speaks about our glorious objective. The Father is pleased and he's glorified when we bear much fruit. There's much to say about what it is to abide in Christ, to have his word abide in us as we abide in Christ, to be full of the spirit of prayer, to see God's spirit at work within us so that we're constant in prayer and constantly living our lives subject to his call, subject to his rule. So much more. And I encourage you to meditate upon this passage. But let me close with this. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of fruitfulness. He calls us to fruitfulness. This is what it means that when we speak about the fruit of the Spirit. He bears fruit in and through us as Christ dwells in us and as we dwell in Christ by faith. The Spirit is the one and only source of true fruitfulness. And so we appeal to the Spirit. We invite the Spirit, come and have your way with me. Come and fill me. Come and empower me. Come and lead me. Come and guide me. Come and have your perfect expression in me. Come, bear fruit in my life. There is a beautiful admonition that is given in the book of Jude as a call to God's people. It's actually the second to last book in the Bible, the letter of Jude, and verses 21 and 22 read this way. Now you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. May God keep us. May we build ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, kept in God's love, awaiting the mercy of Christ to bring us to life eternal. Would you pray together with me? Our worship team is going to come and lead us in worship as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Let's bow in prayer. Father, what an encouraging, hopeful, life-filled thing it is for us as we consider that you've specially laid your hand upon us, each one of us, that we might bear much fruit to the glory of your name. Lord, we pray that you would that you would allow that message to fill us and form us. And Lord, that we would question, we would bring all things in our lives under the scrutiny of your purposes within us. And Lord, that we might be released to bear much fruit, that your name, Lord God, would be glorified. Have your perfect way, we pray, through Christ. Amen.